And once again, my fellow members of the species Homo sapiens, I welcome you to a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam, which is I and the professor, Dr. Ronald L. Fineman, who's on the phone with me to talk about today's political topics, the Donald and his lovely family, his lovely wife, and whatever else we can get our hands dirty with. We air this program every Monday between about 10:13 a.m. and 11 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Sometimes we rebroadcast it on Tuesday and Thursday because it's so good, and sometimes we don't. So let's see if I properly plugged A into B, applied the duct tape in the correct spots. Ron, are you there, and how are things going from your domicile in southern Florida?
Yes, things are fine. Everything's going well. It's usually a hot day.
That's good. Hot days, hot topics, and probably the hottest first lady, or at least one of the hottest first ladies. We sometimes don't agree on Melania, but that's okay. I'm sure she's had her compulsory trips to the plastic surgeon and is looking as lovely as ever. Ron is a blogger, professor, author, kind of a friend to the station. He's been on with me and Scott thousands and thousands of times, and you can hear a rebroadcast of these programs on our esteemed website, WWGH1071.com. Ron publishes the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com.
So let's and I'm also on his work under my name.
Yes. Let's go ahead and take a look, Ron, at some of the blog entries that you've written, because the one from Saturday is kind of near and dear to us. It relates to Roger Stone. And if you folks probably know, if you're regular listeners to this station, and I certainly hope that you are, because why wouldn't somebody listen to this station 25 hours a day? Roger Stone has been on with Scott Spears at least a couple times, and he's been a very good guest. I mean, there's no question, Ron, he's a very intelligent man. We don't question that. To which I'd say many people that have been less than ethical are very intelligent. And Roger Stone's an interesting character. You know, not really quite sure how to make of the guy. Obviously, he and the Donald are good friends, and that's fine. But should he have commuted this sentence? Well, that's another matter, which Ron and I will talk about shortly. But I just do want to mention that when Roger has been on with Scott Spears, he's been a great guest. And it's kind of interesting, Ron, he's been released from prison, or will be released. And is he going to be on with Scott again? Because that would certainly make for an interesting show. You know, I was making jokes about you get the one phone call when you go to jail, because we kind of thought, I mean, Roger's, I mean, he's somewhat elderly. I'm not quite sure of his exact age without checking Wikipedia.
I think he's
but,
late 60s. Sorry? Late 60s, yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, he's older than I am. In the 60s, that's older, but not much older, sorry to say.
Not much older.
I guess we were kind of thinking he would pass away in prison or be very elderly when he gets out, but he's still, you know, just in late middle age.
So it's also the COVID-19 virus that anybody in prison is more in danger because everybody's close together. You know?
Correct. And that's come up with other people. But with the prison sentence being commuted or whatever, I guess that's the word, commuted or ended by the Donald. Well, interesting to know if Roger will be back on with Scott, or, you know, the jokes about him making the one phone call. Would he make it to his lawyer? Would he make it to his a family member, or would he just call Scott Spears? I mean, because Scott's probably the most interesting of all of them. So now that he's going to be a free man, hopefully Roger will be on with Scott again. And something tells me, Ron, if that happens, you will be glued to your radio for that 45-minute program, because it will certainly.
Yeah, I got to tell you, one thing about Roger Stone, which I find the weirdest thing about all, is that he has we haven't seen it, but he has a massive Richard Nixon tattoo on his back. That, I think, I haven't seen it, but it just seems weird as anything.
I think what I'd like to do is maybe we can get Roger to come live into the studio. You know, we've had Gallagher, Lulu Roman from Hee Haw, Karen Knotts, Don Knotts, you know, one of my favorite actors and comedians. May he rest in peace. His daughter, Karen, they've been in the studio. Karen Knotts especially. I Hung out with her for a couple hours. Great lady. You know, kind of looks a bit like her father. Some of the same mannerisms. So that was really exciting. Gallagher spent a couple weeks in residence in and around the studio. So we've had many famous people, Ron, come to the studio. Mr. McFeely for Mr. Rogers many, many times. And maybe Roger can do that. And what I figured is I'll offer to take him to the gym with me because, you know, I pretty much live at the gym now. And maybe we'll go swimming, which means he'll take his shirt off and we'll find out, does he really have that tattoo? And, of course, I will be the paparazzi and I will take a photo and I will just blast it all over social media. Now, wouldn't that be fun to find out if he really has that tattoo of Tricky Dicky and to get a photo? You know, try to find him. It reminds me of that episode of Seinfeld. I guess you watch Seinfeld like I do, Ron. Remember when George and his boss and one of his bosses, they were in a photo at the beach and George was trying to find a way to get a photo of his new boss without a shirt on. So he did a few sneaky things, kind of like they do on Seinfeld. So almost like in this case. I'd love to see a close-up, an actual view of Roger Stone's tattoo and get a photo of it because I think it would be very popular on social media. So maybe we can find a way to get Roger to appear live in the studio and we can do that. And I think it would really, really be kind of cool. And, you know, Ron, we have mixed opinions about Richard Nixon. We know he was great with foreign policy. He had a great presidential nature to him. As we said about Roger Stone, very intelligent man. He just kind of got his hands dirty by hanging out with the wrong people. And that certainly was his downfall, and that's his legacy. But I think we'd also agree that compared to some other presidents, Richard Nixon is thought of in higher regard than he was just after he left office. But that's kind of understandable because the bad things that he did kind of fade away, and you think about the many good things that Richard Nixon possessed. And
Richard Nixon had some good things in domestic policy, too. He's the one under which the EPA began, the Environmental Protection Agency and the Consumer Product Safety Commission. He actually did some very progressive things. He went along with the Democrats on that.
Yeah, and sometimes you think about the political party of these presidents. You know, we've talked many times, Abraham Lincoln being a Republican, and I really think a lot of people would kind of be very surprised at the thought that Lincoln was a Republican and Theodore Roosevelt also. But the Republican Party of those days is not the same as the Republican Party of today. Even in the 70s, the Republican Party of Nixon was a bit different. The Democratic Party also has changed a bit, and we have all this polarization where people are at each other's throats and like to think we could all think we're on the same team, we're all Americans, but that's probably not going to happen. And so maybe that's kind of the logic, Ron, with the tattoo of Richard Nixon on Roger Stone. Maybe kind of a sense of humor, you know, it's okay, I got a Richard Nixon on my body. That's something which would certainly cause people to talk about, to giggle, to gossip, to ask questions. And yeah, I would love to see that tattoo. So I think I'd find a way, if we can get Roger to be an in-person guest, I'd like to see that in person and talk to him about it, because Richard Nixon's a fascinating topic. You know, my dad and I
wanted to tell you, while you've been speaking, I looked up and found a picture of Roger Stone and the Nixon tattoo, and I sent it to you privately. You can look at it if you want it, and you can see what it looks like.
Yeah, I just got
actually
that.
It looks pretty nice.
Oh, my goodness. That's pretty that's fabulous. That is quite smashing. It is definitely a photograph.
Yes, because I just typed in on Google when I found it. You know?
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Well, you know, sometimes it's nice just to see something with your own eyes. So maybe, again, if we can get Roger Stone.
They don't have to meet him to see it.
See?
I made it easier for you.
Don't you think it would get a lot of glances if Roger and I were like to go swimming or something and people would see this tattoo and say, first people would say, who is that? And I would say, well, that's President Richard Nixon. And somebody would say, well, isn't that the president who was a crook? I say, no, Richard Nixon was not a crook. Then I could do my Richard Nixon imitation. It would really be a lot of fun. You know, it's good to have some humor in these tough times, and it would be kind of a cool thing. But I think, you know, in all seriousness, Roger Stone would be a cool guy to meet. Again, he is very smart.
He's interesting. There's no question. He's also published a number of books. He's actually very bright. But he's also very evil.
He would have many great stories to tell, and I would be just be fascinated. And again, just a great guest. And we do encourage listeners, you know, jokes aside, because laughter is the best medicine, as you know, go to the show archives for Scott Spears and look up under Celebrity Interviews, Roger Stone. Well worth your time, your ears and your brain. Well, thank you. And Let's hope that Roger, in person or via phone or via Skype or via Telegram, whatever, can be on with Scott again, because I'm sure he will have some very cool stories to tell. And we hope Roger does choose a good path in life and contributes to society. I think someone is, I think you'd agree with this, Ron. We know he's not a saint, but someone as intelligent as he is, with all of his wisdom and life experiences, could be very a very good contributor to our society. Let's try to see the glasses being half full instead of half empty. So
yeah, I want to just point out, though, that Robert Mueller, the special prosecutor and former FBI head, said today, and he's kept quiet all along, he said no matter what has happened with what Trump has done, it still was the fact that he was found guilty, Stone, on 7 counts, 7 felonies, and therefore he's a convicted felon, even if he is being having a commutation. It doesn't take away from what happened in a court of law, and that's true.
I guess that means that, and correct me if I'm wrong, he won't be able to vote for his favorite president come November, being...
Not in Florida, anyway.
They're
still towards the trouble in Florida for anybody who's ever had a prison record or been convicted of anything.
So that would be kind of intriguing. So he can't vote for the Donald, but he can certainly support him in other ways. On the 11th, last Saturday, Ron, you're right, in your blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, an educated view from the left, Donald Trump, commutation of Roger Stone, prison term, the final nail in the coffin. To give a commutation to a man totally obscene and crooked as Roger Stone only adds to the image of Donald Trump as the most corrupt president in American history, bar none. Maybe that's a pun, you know, for Barr, for William Barr. Maybe that's kind of what you had in mind there. Anyway, the Republican Party in the House and Senate has no principles other than their own political advancement and their personal acquisition of wealth, and they will suffer an historic disaster equivalent of 1964. You know, 1964 was not a totally disastrous year, Ron, because something really good happened.
I know, you were born.
Yeah, something really good happened. And so just...
Goldwater only won 6 states, and it was the greatest popular vote percentage in history. Lyndon Johnson won 61.2% of the vote.
So not everything happened bad in that year, so I'm glad you pointed that out.
The New York World Fair opened that year, and I remember that vividly.
Again, all jokes aside, Ron, because again, I can't stress this enough, we need laughter in these tough times. Do you think Roger Stone, again, you know, I guess he's not much older than Mike Pence, so I mean, he's just in later middle age. He certainly has many
About six years older, I think.
He looks healthy, so I mean... I think he'll be around a while.
He has some health issues, he's claimed. Maybe he's just saying it, but he might, because I think most people, when they reach their mid-60s, probably do have health issues of some type, most likely.
Yeah, well, maybe
he's 67. Yeah. Or he'll be 68 in August. He'll be 68, yeah.
Well, do you think that he will become a contributing member of society? Again, his wisdom is, even his biggest detractors will agree, he's a smart man with all kinds of stories and things that he can contribute to society. Or will he not keep his nose clean, and might he end up back in the slammer? What do you think is going to happen in a couple years to the guy?
Well, he has a loose mouth, and he's gotten himself in trouble with his mouth. I don't know whether he knows how to control himself, but also he could write more books. He is, you know, he's quite an author, so... He can make money writing books or confessional or whatever if he wanted to do that and not speak out. But he seems to like to always talk, you know.
So
he likes attention.
So you think his mouth might get him in trouble or...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yes.
Well, all I can say, Roger, if you're listening, again, thank you for being such a gracious guest. Hopefully you can come back on with Scott Spears, and we'd love to have you in Marion. I'd like to see your tattoo in person. I think it'd be kind of cool because, you know, I kind of like Richard Nixon. I'd like to know if you would enjoy my impersonation of Nixon, because so many people have impersonated him, myself included. I think Roger would be a really cool guy to hang out with, but we'll see what happens. You know, Scott Spears has gotten guests that were beyond what I think he could get, so nothing really surprises me at this point. Last Friday, Ron, on the 10th of July, you write, many Republicans not attending national convention in Jacksonville, Florida. In August. And that's not because Jacksonville, Florida is very hot in late August. It's also hurricane season. That's not the reason. The reason, I would assume, would be that they really aren't big fans of the Donald. Plus, Mr. McConnell from our neighboring state of Kentucky, one of your favorite states, Ron, 78 years old. And we have two other senators retiring who are a bit on the elderly side, Mr. Roberts of Kansas, 84, and Mr. Alexander of Tennessee, 80. Now, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, she's one of the ones who has said she will not attend. As I recall, Ron, you're a bit of a fan of hers. She's more of a centrist Republican.
Yes.
And yes. you would concur that she is not exactly the president of the Donald's fan club. Would that be an accurate statement?
No, she certainly is not.
Okay.
And she voted against Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court.
And we have Susan Collins. She's been a very controversial figure of Maine.
Oh, my God. She's moderate, but she's lost all support now. I think she's going to lose her seat, very likely.
Now we have Mitt Romney of Utah, formerly of Massachusetts.
He looks good, better than he ever has, because he condemned the pardon. The commutation.
He gets around a bit, and even older, 87 in September, would be Chuck Grassley of Iowa. So these
who's
folks
the president pro tempore. So right now, I'm just imagine this: if something happened to Trump and Pence and Nancy Pelosi, who's 80, who would be president right now? Chuck Grassley at 87 in September. Can you believe this?
That would be quite interesting. See, we talk about John McCain's mom. You know, she's only 20 years older than Chuck Grassley, and she's in really good health. Maybe she could be president.
Or Jimmy Carter could come back at 95 in 9 months. He's still doing fine, and he's wearing a mask.
Yeah, that would be that certainly could be interesting. And that's what is so fascinating about this progression. We don't talk about this as much as we should. Mike Pence, again, he's about 61 or plus or minus.
Yes.
He'd be the next person in line, but of course we might find he might not be too long for the office because he might have some issues that might cause his removal.
I think he does, yes.
And after him, yeah, we have Nancy Pelosi. I mean, she's 80, and she has
looks good, although she's had plastic surgery. But the point is, she's 80, and Chuck Grassley's 87. It's amazing.
The progression of people, just like they're getting older and older. I said Pence is a good age.
Octogenarian takeover.
Yeah. So who would come after Grassley? I hate to ask. Who would be the next person in line?
In the Republican Party, I'd have to look it up. I know in the Democratic Party, it'd be Patrick Leahy of Vermont, who's been there longer than any senator since 1974.
I remember him from my college days. He's been...
Patrick Leahy, yeah. But he's a little younger. He's more like 80.
Only 80.
But I'm not sure who the next ranking Republican is. I'd have to look it up. I don't know everything.
As the official presidentologist, you are the absolute guru on politics. So we have two senators from Vermont, and they're both like 80-ish. We have Bernie Sanders, of course, and we have Mr. Leahy. So just the demographics of these politicians is quite fascinating. And so it's almost like we have an island. We have Mike Pence, you know, certainly from a qualification standpoint, certainly could become president in a good age, early 60s. But everybody else is 80-ish or more, and that is a bit on the elderly side, and certainly also Nancy Pelosi, her politics being very different from the other people. So if Donald were to leave office through a method other than not winning the election in November, it could make for a touchy scenario, to put it mildly. And that's just what's so exciting about politics. We mentioned last time, Ron, that we were going to try to keep this from not being a non-mask and non-coronavirus zone. So we're going to keep the talk about that stuff as little as possible. But I did want to ask you a question, of course. We're not going to talk about, you know, mask versus no mask. As you probably heard, we go one state to the north to Michigan, and Governor Whitmer there has mandated masks for pretty much anywhere where there's no social distancing or it's not a private home. The problem is, you know, my mama always said the punishment should fit the crime. And the punishment for being a non-masker in a mask-required locale is $500. Let me ask you, Ron, do you think that that's a bit bit too high as a non-mask fine, or maybe is it not strict enough? What are your thoughts about that? Because in Ohio, the fine is much less.
Well, what is it in Ohio? Do you know? Is it $100?
I get off to look it up. I was thinking it was like $25, but the first time, the first time is a warning, and it's not formally being. It's not formally being enforced. It's more on a complaint-driven basis. In Michigan, it appears to be more aggressive. Plus, and that's for the counties that are under the level three, and that's just a handful right now. But it does include Franklin County, does not include Delaware and Marion and Crawford County, the immediate listening area of our station. But some places, Columbus, for example, Worthington, many of the Columbus suburbs, they have their own ordinance. So there are sometimes a couple laws that work in unison. But it certainly isn't $500. And I think
well,
also...
that does seem loose. I would say probably $200 would seem to be reasonable. I just wanted to go back to the seniority. You said, who's after Chuck Grassley? I had a feeling it's Mitch McConnell, the majority leader at the moment, and possibly the minority leader, would be the president pro tempore if Grassley suddenly kicked the bucket, because he's there longer than any other Republican except Chuck Grassley. How's that?
Yeah, like Cincinnati, for example, it's a $25 fine. So I mean, these fines in Ohio, I mean, they're small, and they're not being enforced as aggressively as what I was inferring and reading about Michigan. So you know, $500, that's pretty steep.
Well, has anybody been actually arrested and fined?
Not as far as I know. You know, it is a complaint-driven system, and. Again, my own opinion aside, I think people know what my opinion is. I think the police have other things to worry about. And the business is a private enterprise, and they are allowed to say, no mask, no entry. And just like I'm allowed to say, you know, no mask or no Adam. So it kind of goes both ways. business may lose customers. They may gain customers because people like the policy. You know, we're going to try to avoid talking about that. I just wonder what you thought about that. $500 statewide fine, because it's pretty steep.
That does seem a bit steep, yes. But I'm sure it's more designed to get people to obey, not to really enforce.
It's depending upon the area. Detroit, for example, I think they've got a lot more problems than mask or no mask. And I'd like to think the police will concentrate on that stuff. But kind of hard to say. It is a sensitive issue. I think the official... fine, Ron, is up to $150 on subsequent violations, but the first violation is a warning. And I don't know if they, write down your name and social security number so that they know that you have been warned, because you could just get warned every day. I mean, how do they know if it's a previous violation? It's kind of up in the air, and I don't think in Ohio they plan on strict enforcement, but again, individual businesses can enforce it. And there's been a lot of press... a lot of social media about who is enforcing it, what areas, and how they're enforcing it. Many stores can provide a mask to a customer. Some don't care, and some are very strict. They will stop you at the door, and no mask, no entry. But again, it's a dress code, and if you don't like the dress code, well, take your money elsewhere. That's how we do things here in this country, regardless of how I or others may think about this policy, or if it's effective, whatever. It was just more the way they're going to penalize people, and $500, that's it's awfully steep, as I see it.
That does seem. I would say maybe like a third time, you know, like a three strikes you're out kind of thing, like serious crime. Maybe you start off at 150, then 250, and then 500 if you keep on abusing it. Maybe something like that, but not the first time.
And we also have these laws that are city by city. In Columbus, first the mayor made an executive order, which cannot be enforced, and the city council approved it. And then Franklin County became a level three. So Franklin County, Columbus or not, is subject to the governor's order. But Columbus is also in three different counties. You know me, I love geography. It's in Fairfield County, which late last week became a level three. And it may drop down to level two. And therefore, it has become mandatory mask. And there's quite a bit of Columbus in Delaware County. Delaware County is not a mask county, but the part of that's Columbus is, because it has the citywide law.
Oh boy.
So it is
complications.
It is quite fascinating, but that's part of the fun of being an American. And you know, for me, as much as I love geography and love studying demographics and how people behave in society, it's been a fascinating time. And I must say, my people skills have certainly increased. It's a shame they have to increase due to some unfortunate acts, but that's kind of how the things go sometimes, as my mama said. Again, we're talking to Dr. Ronald L. Feynman on The Talking Place, WGH1071.com, on a program we call A Finer Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam and the Professor. Last week,
say, because I wanted to emphasize it, that Mitch McConnell was the second longest serving Republican. But let's just say the Republicans kept the Senate. Let's just say they did. And Chuck Grassley died. Then Mitch McConnell would be the senior. Now, that would make him, I don't think he could be both president pro tempore and majority leader. I don't think he could be. That would be a complication to be two positions. But he would be the longest ranking, longest serving Republican if Chuck Grassley left the scene, which is interesting.
Now, if
so, it's an interesting thought about what could happen if that was to happen with Grassley. Would McConnell be Senate Majority? I guess he'd keep that and not be President pro tempore, although technically he would be, but he can't be both positions, I don't think.
Now, we've never had
an interesting issue, you know,
anyone other than the Vice President become President. We've never had a the House Speaker, who is third in line, become President. This would be the first time if that were to happen. Now, if Nancy were to ascend to the presidency, would she would be allowed to say, I don't want to be president, make it the next person? I don't think she would. I think she'd like to be president, but
she would finish the term. She wouldn't be going for a full term. She'd finish a few months. That's all we're talking about. Yeah.
Right. But she could say, I don't want to be president, take the next person. You can decline that ascension, right?
Then Chuck Grassley at 87 would be, and he's Republican. She would not do that. If that was to happen suddenly, top two died, she would take over, but it'd only be a few months, but she'd be president for like a term like Garfield or like William Henry Harrison.
We're used to having all these two-term presidents, except for George Bush, number one. But yeah, Harrison, he was elderly, not in the best of health, and caught a pretty serious cold at inauguration. I don't think he wore a coat, and that caused his health to decline
first. Shot after 4 months.
I think as we've talked about, Ron Harrison would have been a decent president, but it's kind of hard to tell with just a 1 month term, even though we're kind of used to these presidents.
And Garfield had 4 months and 2.5 months in a coma most of the time, and he died after 6.5 months in 1881. Yep.
Just has changed so much. And again, we're seeing older presidents. That's why Pete Buttigieg was just so fascinating that he would be in his 30s. We've never had a president in his 30s, but he'll have to wait till next time. And when he's in his 40s, still a young man.
I wanted to mention about Harrison and Garfield. You realize that when Harrison died in 1841 and Garfield in 1881, those 2 years we had three presidents, the only time in our history. The president finishing, the president starting and dying, and then the president succeeding him.
That is quite interesting. It is quite fascinating, but that's why we like to talk about politics, why we don't have to dwell all this negativity. There's a lot of cool stuff, and Ron being the official presidentologist of this station, we like to pick his brain and kind of find out all these cool factoids. Now, last week, Ron, I just asked you a few things about Donald Trump. You told me he was racist, misogynist, etc., and you gave me some examples and, kind of allowed people to consider, do they agree, do they not agree, or are they maybe...
Did you get any response from anyone?
Not yet, but, I think people are too busy talking about masks on social media. But I think we do want to continue to talk about exactly what is the nature, what's going on inside Donald Trump's brain. And
that we would all like to know.
And previous presidents. Back early last week, you write, Open White Supremacy and Racism in the American Presidency. 9 of the first 12 presidents owned slaves, and many of them mistreated them, including cruelty and separation of families by slave sales. Now, Ron, I am anything but an expert on early American history, but I do know that there were nice slave masters and slave masters who were not so nice, and kind of... boggles my mind why you wouldn't be nice to someone who is under federal law working for you for free. But it's not a concept I think anybody alive today can grasp because we've not seen this in person. But it's obviously something which totally disgusts me. And the thought that someone who becomes president was treating slaves poorly. I'm not overly comfortable with that. However, that was kind of the norm. I mean, it's not a good part of our history.
Fortunately. Yeah.
And that's kind of why people have talked about the statues and Are these presidents really great? Well, it certainly is something that can be pondered, but it was the norm, sorry to say, and it wasn't a good norm. And you write, well, this was considered to be the standard. But how do we look at that, and how do we judge the character, the supposed greatness of all these past presidents? Now, you write, the vocal group willing to make it part of their presidencies include Andrew Jackson regarding Native Americans and African Americans, Andrew Johnson toward African Americans during Reconstruction, Woodrow Wilson clearly disregarding civil rights for African Americans and open disdain for Asian people, as well as the nations they originated from, China and Japan. And now we come to Donald Trump, who has used the racist and white supremacist language to appeal to his base in a gross manner. Ron, do you think if Trump were president back in the 1800s, at the time of these earlier presidents, would it be even worse? What would a Donald Trump be like if he were president, let's say, maybe 180 years ago? Would it really
I'd have been a slave owner. If slavery was legal, I think I could imagine it.
And you would think that he wouldn't be one of the nice slave owners. Would that be accurate?
I understand that he's not very nice if he doesn't get what he wants from even people on his staff. He's nasty. That's just words, of course. He doesn't do physical violence. Certainly he's not nice to people. He's fired people left and right. You know, he's had more turnover than anybody, and that's of people who are mostly white and, of course, are not slaves. So I would horrifying to think what he would be like if he was a slave owner. Yeah.
So we can only conjecture. We don't know for sure, but it certainly would be something that might seem a bit scary. But the whole legacy of this country, again, between the beginning of our country, the Revolution, and the Civil War and the Emancipation Proclamation, there are certainly some ugly times. And do we try to learn from that stuff? Do we still think that these presidents who owned slaves, even if they were nice slave owners, as many slave owners were, do we erase their greatness? It's going to be something debated for a long time. And, you know,
I've been thinking about this lately because I'm teaching this a presidency course in the full online, and I've done it all along. It's going to be much more complicated now to talk about each individual because of more revelations and more focus on things that we wouldn't necessarily have paid attention to before. And I'm going to have to add these things. And, of course, I always say plus and minus of everybody, but it's not going to be an easy thing because there are those who would say, how can you keep the Jefferson Memorial? But then I could say, how can you not keep the Jefferson Memorial? You know, it's a big, as an example, the one in D.C., or so many other cases. It's just a very complex thing because nobody's perfect. There's all kinds of people who have many faults, but yet they also have virtues, and it just makes it much more difficult to analyze and evaluate and rate presidents, really.
Yeah, I mean, do we erase history? We know.
You can't erase it. I don't know if you can let it dominate, but you can't. You have to bring it in as part of a balanced presentation. And I've done it, but I don't think as much as now. Now I'm going to have to put more in about Jefferson and Washington and others, you know, about their negative side more than I've done. And it's torturous in a way because it's a very difficult issue, you know.
Do we understand that these people, these presidents were acting in the normal and expected manner, or were they really evil? Could they have done something about slavery? I mean, Thomas Jefferson, he was fairly wealthy. We know about his relationship with his slave Sally, and there are many descendants.
Six children with her, yep.
Of their union, I guess, out of lack of a better term. But do we allow that to overshadow the great things that he did? Do we take him off the nickel? Do we take him off the currency? How do we consider his legacy? It's a difficult point.
He still seems to maybe one of the top 10, but it does make you wonder if we need to reassess the ratings of who is better and who is not. And it might elevate some people higher and knock other people down lower. Already Wilson and Jackson have slipped even before now. You know, they're out of the top 10, and Wilson's number 11. I think he's going to slip further, and Jackson's 18. He had been 13 in the last C-SPAN poll. It's going to be interesting to see how, after more evaluation, how we look at these and other presidents, including people like even Franklin D. Roosevelt, that he didn't do more about the Holocaust in World War II. you know, some people still think that's a big issue. It is.
Yeah, so you don't. You kind of wonder about that. Now, we tend to agree
so
that
many things to think about. It makes ranking much harder. You know.
Yeah, it's you can get a PhD in ranking presidents right now. That would be an interesting yes. topic. Now we. Pretty much agree, Ron.
About a couple of the presidents, that they might have been bigots in their early life, I'm talking about Lyndon Johnson and Harry Truman, but they really changed. And I guess you have to say they were bigots as young men, but as presidents, they really came through and did great deeds on civil rights. So I think you have to say they grew up in a society where they were a certain way and used the N-word and other things, but they did really advance beyond.
Yeah, you have to give them credit for that. It's difficult because it was a norm. Not something we're proud of, but it's how it was, and we move on. Now, we tend to agree, Ron, that Abraham Lincoln was our greatest president. Are these changes in rankings going to make Lincoln look better, or maybe worse? How is it going to affect our assessment of him?
Well, Lincoln also did not think that blacks could really ever be equal with whites. He talked about trying to get them to move to Africa, to the colony of Liberia. I would not call him a civil.
So do you think it could actually make Lincoln worse? Is that what you're saying?
Or
could it make Lincoln look worse? Or what kind of a net effect would it be on him?
Well, I think it could be. I don't know who would replace him. That's the problem. Because Washington and FDR, the others up there. And again, FDR has his definite faults. They all are faults. That's the problem. It's all a ranking, comparing them to each other. That's what it is. It's not talking about perfection or utopia. It's about who is better than others in more ways. That's what it really is. But it really, I think, is a tumultuous thing to try to figure out. And I think one president who, although he's not rated very well, as we look back at his life in the South and how he grew up having black kids as his friends and neighbors in a small town in Plains, Jimmy Carter, I think is going to rise. I really think he is.
Yeah, we don't question Jimmy Carter as a man, even his biggest detractors, because I am not a fan of his presidency. The economy really stunk. Of course, the Iranian hostage problem. But
the circumstance, but what happens, you know.
He is a nice man. I mean, I agree with that. Part of it, too, he's just too nice.
His rating is, once he dies, and I hope he doesn't soon, he's going to go rise because Truman rose after he died. People were always ridiculing Truman. Then when he died, we had what New York Times called Truman Mania 5 years later. I think we'll have Carter Mania 5 years after he left. He's living, so that's why he's not being looked at the same way as once he's passed, you know.
Of course, some people, Ron, would say that Donald Trump is our greatest president of all time. I would imagine you don't agree with that.
No, I do not agree. You couldn't even get me to say that if you got me drunk, and I don't drink.
But you've heard people say that he's our best president ever. If somebody
those people were delusional,
right? If you were just to meet someone, you know, I know you drink like a little coffee. So if you were at a coffee shop, if you were at Starbucks, you'd be wearing a mask anyway, so it would be kind of hard to talk since they require masks.
I couldn't see what my expression.
Yeah, if you were at Starbucks and you happened to meet somebody, maybe they recognized you from your many appearances in book signings and other events, and that person said, Dr. Feynman, you know, Donald Trump is the greatest president ever. What would you tell that person?
I probably wouldn't talk to him. I probably would, and I would not respond because it's very hard to accept that. As it is, I know people who believe that, and we're no longer, you know, communicating with each other basically because we cannot get along. Because I think it's obscene that somebody could call him a great man with all the horrible things he's done, as I see it. You know, but I wouldn't get into a fight. I'm not going to get in a fight and get punched in the mouth. It's not worth it. I would probably just pass. And say, well, that's your view. That's what
correct. You know,
what
we're both advocates of free speech. That's something you and I can agree on.
But I wouldn't get into an insulting, yelling match. No, there's no point to that.
As my mama, may she rest in peace, sometimes said, good things happen. No, time flies when you're having fun. That's what she said. She also said all good things must come to an end, which means that our show is going to conclude shortly. So before that happens, Ron, we invite people to go to your blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, read it, analyze it, delineate it, and if you don't like it, throw a rotten egg at it, because that's all part of free speech. You don't have to agree with what he says, but if you don't, that's fine. You're free to comment. If you do, that's great. Ron happily takes compliments, as we all do. We all like to be stroked from time to time.
I wanted to add, because we have a couple of minutes left, I see, the entry of July 9th, the Supreme Court came out against Trump about that he's above the law in two cases this week, very important. And get this, his two appointees, Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, voted against him. It was a 7-2 vote.
Gorsuch has become a little bit to the left of late because he also voted for the equal rights for gay people, if I'm not mistaken. I know Kavanaugh didn't, but...
Yeah, and Gorsuch also wrote the decision about Oklahoma, that eastern Oklahoma is Indian territory. Wow, that was a 5-4 vote. Gorsuch really has surprised, yes.
Do you think Trump feels that Gorsuch is backstabbing him? Because I think you and I have been surprised. Gorsuch is... He seems to be leaning left. What's going on with the guy?
And Roberts also, of course, has disappointed him a number of times, the Chief Justice. Yeah, the two of them. And now even on what, at least on the issue of these two matters about Trump power, presidential power, even Kavanaugh voted against him. I was stunned by that.
Yeah, politics makes strange bedfellows. And kind of intriguing. You know, we don't question either of them. They're both intelligent men with great resumes. And, you know, Kavanaugh, he has some personal issues that we're not thrilled about. But Gorsuch, you know... seems like he's okay. I think he surprised us quite a bit, so who knows?
Yes, he has, on Native Americans and on gays and on presidential power. Yeah, he really, I'm going to have to do an article about him, also on Roberts, because Roberts definitely has disappointed conservatives, because he's conservative, but he's not that conservative. He's more the center, he's like Anthony Kennedy was, the swing vote, But now Gorsuch seems like a swing vote somewhat, too.
Yeah, of course, running out of time again, but what do you think about the Oklahoma ruling? Tulsa, Oklahoma is now American Indian Territory. That's a pretty big city to say that about.
Well, I think it's making up for what happened in 1889 when Oklahoma was open to white settlement and when people were allowed to rush in even before the actual time, and that's how we got the University of Oklahoma football team named the Sooners. People rushing in to claim land, whites, sooner rather than later. That's where the Oklahoma Sooners get their name from.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I don't know how it's going to affect how Oklahoma is run, though, because, I mean, Native American, it may be their land, but it's still part of the state of Oklahoma. I'm not sure how it's going to play itself out.
Yeah, I don't understand
either. But it's a victory,
I guess,
for Native Americans. Very rare.
I guess we'll find out, but that's just more of the fun. Oklahoma, just an interesting state. It has a really weird shape. I always thought it looked like a finger pointing, because it has that really skinny panhandle. It looks like a finger. The rest of it kind of looks like your other fingers curled around. And Oklahoma City, the capital, which I've been to, it's a great town. It's hot there in the summer. It has working oil wells on the grounds of the capital. And Columbus is a lot of area. Jacksonville is a lot of area. But Oklahoma City is enormous, just a spread out town. And
also, Oklahoma is the third last state, not counting Alaska and Hawaii, and the only states that were created after Oklahoma in 1907 with New Mexico and Arizona in 1912. So it's the 46th state as far as being created as a state, 1907.
Yeah, it's a fascinating, fascinating state, but that's why we like to talk here on the show, Ron. History, politics, current events.
Never dull, right?
At a loss for words. Well, we thank you, Dr. Ronald L. Fineman, for being with us here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. We get together Monday between 10:13 a.m. and 11. Sometimes Ron joins us, as he's doing today, and we talk current political topics and other interesting tidbits. And again, Adam Lepp here, your show host. Be sure to send me an email on our private email server, where we don't delete messages. We read every single one of them. Adam at WWGH1071.com.